Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, apart from the Uber IPO, you've also got US tariff increases on $200 billion worth of made in China stuff that hit Cinderella style at midnight last night. Didn't turn markets into a pumpkin, though, so it obviously means that we might see something of a deal. But the big news locally remains the election. Warwick Lucas, Chief Investment Officer at Galileo Asset Managers, and Raymond Parsons, who's head of the School of Business and Governance at Northwest University, are with us again this Friday. Guys, let's start with the election. It's the big juicy news before we get stuck into any of the global stuff. Raymond, it looks like a Rummer revival, as political analyst Richard Callan calls it. Not only did the president's popularity and trust level lead the ANC to a fairly decent result, it has arrested the decline. Yes, at a headline level, they have declined from last national election, but from the last local government election, it shows that voters seem to be coming back.
Yes, it seems to be so, and I think we spoke before that there was a mandate threshold which would create a degree of comfort about the road ahead, especially for the South African economy. I'm, of course, delighted to be moving away from talking about the gross domestic politics and dwell a little more on the gross domestic product, which I know a little
aren't
more
we
about.
All? Aren't we all?
But they're two sides of the same coin, and that is why this election was so important, that we needed a degree of political certainty about who was going to call the shots and who was going to take the decisions. Mm. And that's why I think one understands that where the outcome now is, it indicates that there's a great potential for us lifting the levels of business and investor confidence. Of course, there are certain actions that will come later that we will want to see once the president shows his hand later, both as to pro-growth reform policies, as well as particularly the nature of the cabinet. How credible will it be? Will it be action orientated? Will it enjoy the confidence of business and the markets? I think that combination, although it's his decision, he's going to have to weigh up the fact that there's a team that has to help him make things happen. I think one's very careful not to invest too much in one personality. At the end of the day, it also has to be a team effort. And that comes back to the issue of making things happen and creating a climate of certainty within which they will happen. And also addressing almost immediately the urgent things that have been crowding in. I mean, when we come to the economic issues, which were important in the campaign, I would simply say that the issues which worried us last week are still with us next week.
The challenges, Raymond, just to stop you there and to bring you in, Warwick, for the ANC are the fact that, and to talk to this mandate issue, the ANC now goes into Parliament at its lowest level ever in terms of numbers of seats. In order to enact legislation to drive any kind of reform, the president is going to have to build coalitions and co-opt people. And that comes to my next question. The big burning question is the shape of that cabinet. Will we see perhaps a strategy to draw the teeth of the Mabuza Magashula factions in the ANC, who might be trying to hobble him, has been mooted by some by offering an olive branch to the likes of the EFF and bringing Malema and Shivambu into that cabinet? Does he build a broad cabinet of national unity, the government of national unity, a la Mini Mandela? What are his options, Warwick?
Well, I think the primary option needs to be a relatively decisive government body. I mean, you can see Cyril, the professional manager, coming through, quite apart from the fact that a large cabinet is unwieldy. And I mean, professional manager looks at this and says, really, you cannot be a punchy decision-making body, a tight-knit governing unit, with this vast cabinet that Zuma had, quite apart from the members of it, which is, of course, another story. So I think there will obviously be some internal punch-ups. That's inevitable. And I suppose from that point, we'll see just what kind of an internal strong hand Cyril has. But, I mean, it has to be said that the ANC did a pretty credible turnaround here. I mean, you know, looking back at the 2016 poll, they had fallen from 62% down to 54%. And quite frankly, with the Zuma camp in charge, it's probable that they would have gone below 50%. So, I mean, Cyril has stopped that decline and created a bit of a bounce there, frankly. Now, I think therein lies some of the answer to the fall-off that we saw in the DA. The reality is that the DA held quite a lot of ground, certainly if you go back further before 2014. But obviously they're campaigning against a more formidable opponent.
I think perhaps we should just add here very quickly that for some, you know, that when one talks about politics, for some people the game is never over, no matter what the numbers say. And although from external point of view, we talk here this evening, we applaud this mandate in the sense we say we think it's a base on which to get moving, to show leadership, to be decisive, to make things happen, because there's some urgent things that will crowd in quite soon. But the fact is that internally in the ANC, there may be some factions that don't look with a kind eye on 57% and say, actually, ground has been lost, which we shouldn't have lost, and we could have done better had we done other things. So I'm just making the point that we may not be expert on those internal dynamics. Maybe they can be thwarted or managed or perhaps channeled into more constructive areas, but there may well be a view within the ANC which reflects a different set of dynamics and perceptions around the 57% that we happen to be applauding at the moment.
It's a good point, Warwick. To add on to that, though, the important subtext of what Raymond is saying is the snakes that are coiled in waiting. And we've seen in the Secretary General's comments today, Ace Magashula, very hesitant to say that this win is about Cyril Ramaphosa, emphasizing this famous collective of the ANC.
Well, frankly, I mean, Yabu sucks as a standard for elections. And clearly that in the case of the ANC, it's both inside and outside. So it's par for the course. I think, though, I mean, looking at the swings, and we're talking here about the EFF, and of course the very big surprise being the FF, but if you look at it on a broad brushstroke, where were the big political gains? And the big political gains were in the kind of parties that, frankly, support for them indicates some economic distress. And so, you know, in tough economic times, aggressive political messages find fertile ground, and hence the kind of growth that we saw for the EFF and the FF. And, of course, the FF in particular, I think, gaining outside their normal sort of heft on the land issue. But moving broadly beyond that, I mean, what I can say about these elections, I think they can be seen to be fairly orderly, fairly well run. And on the whole, nothing in the numbers really suggests serious problems in South Africa's political fabric. I mean, if we had the EFF at 20% or the FF at 10, I think some serious questions and flags would have been raised and some concerns. But in the whole, it's a fairly normal result. It's not necessarily that unpredictable. And I think South Africa to an outside investor is starting to look like there's a sense of normality and normalization coming through, and that's very, very positive.
I think that's very important, that we are beginning to see, after 25 years of domination of what we would call, understandably of course, the liberation imperative, I think we are beginning to see our politics being normalized in a greater, to a far, far greater extent. And the fact that we've been able to run this election the way we have, although there have been some problems, that in itself is a positive, that again we have run quite an efficient ship as far as the election is concerned. But I come back to my basic point, given the urgency of what is waiting for us on our economic agenda, We must understand, as the phrase has it, a week is a long time in politics, but 5 years is very short for delivery.
Harold Wilson, was it important to remember that? But I do think as we approach our final analysis, certainly from an administrative perspective, credit must go to the IEC. Yes, there have been issues, and you've both mentioned it, perhaps double voting and the like, and certainly with Section 24 of the Electoral Act, we need to have a look at how we get ahead of that come 2024, because we're not going to have as many green barcoded IDs about the place. It's going to be those smart cards, so even more of an issue there. But in the main, the IEC ran this election with 300 million rand less, lest we forget. So I think bearing all of that in mind, a sixth generally free and fair and well-run election in Africa is something we mustn't take our eyes off. Raymond, just stay right there. We need to cross to Kotlehoe for the latest traffic.